My name is Lincoln. Thanks for joining me once again. You're listening to That's the Truth. Coming right up is the audio recording of one of our live stream services from the House of God here in Montreal. You can watch the video recording on our Facebook page, Linked with God. That's L-I-N-K-E-D with God. Or you can head on over to our YouTube channel, That's the Truth. If you have trouble finding that page, go to youtube.com, enter That's the Truth in the search bar, click on the filter button, which you'll see a little lower to the left of the search bar, then click on the channel button where you'll see the Bible icon that identifies our channel, That's the Truth, and that should appear right on top of the list. Click on the Bible icon where you'll then have access to all of our teachings on video. Please share these links with your friends and family so they too can be blessed with the Word of God as you are receiving it right now. This is how you can help me preach the gospel of Christ, salvation for this generation. Well, let's get right to it. Get your Bibles. There's a lot to read because God has a lot to say to us. Directly from the Word of God, you're listening to That's the Truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. The word has been good so far last night. For those of you that were here, I'm glad for those who made it out today. Praise God. For if you missed, we read John chapter 2, the first 11 verses. The miracle, you say, oh, that's the water that was changed into wine. And yes, it is, but we're looking at the servants that filled the water pots. And so that it wasn't just, I know Jesus created the miracle, but Jesus had help. That's where you and I come in. Praise God. When he told the folks, he said, we need some water. They went and got some water. Can someone say amen? Then he said, once the miracle took place, he said, I want you to draw out of those pots and go serve those that were in the wedding banquet. Yeah, it's better to say banquet than wedding party, but banquet. That's a good word. The wedding banquet. So again, Jesus had help. He didn't do all serving. Amen. Thank God for the miracle that he did. Praise God. But he didn't. He had help. And this is to encourage you. That's you and I. We come to this place to be filled. Praise God. And once we leave, well, now I've got something to give. Praise God. Nothing on the inside. There's nothing coming out on the outside. Anyway, there's a lot of those people walking around. I don't want to get too carnal, but like zombies, just taking up space and not much. We need to be profitable for the kingdom of God. When you read this, this is God, what God expects. And when I look at what God did, I mean, what God invested for you and I to be where we are today, I thank God that we can turn around and become that servant which is profitable. Can someone say amen? Who shall we send? God asked the question. And now what did Isaiah for an answer? He says, here I am, send me. Praise God. This is the first chapter of Isaiah. When you keep reading the further chapters, I wonder if Isaiah knew what was coming. And he wasn't like in chapter 40, he says, well, I'll go. Once you get to chapter 40 in Isaiah, it says, okay. But thank God, Brian and Keena, their testimony was, we're blessed along the way. Praise God. And I thank God for that, to be able to have that testimony firsthand. And I appreciate my brothers and sisters that are joining, sacrificing their holiday time, their family time. Praise God. Our sister, amen, sacrificing, praise God, amen, work and family as well, to be on the road and to be a blessing, to be a light into this world. Thank God it's not just one person trying to do what only one person can do. I'm going to say that over again. Thank God it's not just one person doing what only one person can do. Praise God. Amen. We're here together. Sister Kayla mentioned Friday night. She says, sounds like teamwork. And I like that word, praise God, because we are with one mind, with one heart, with one spirit. We make a good team. One body. Amen. Knowing that Jesus Christ is the head. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't get quiet on me. Thank God for that blessing. And so the folks were blessed because of what Jesus did. But as I said, he had help. And then last night we looked at what God was able to do. God, we read, is anybody taking notes? If you want, or you're recording, because I'll go through. I won't read it for the sake of time. Jeremiah 23:20, Jeremiah 30:24. The verses are very similar. Words like, God is going to perform, God is going to execute, God is going to do according to his heart. See, the will of God will always be done. God's will always be accomplished. It's up to you and I to decide whether or not you're going to be involved. And if this is the center of God's will, and if you're standing over here, if you're just an innocent bystander or not so innocent bystander, I want to be found in the center of God's will, smack dab in the middle, where all the action is. Well, I got a couple of amens. Isaiah 14:24. Isaiah 55:11. And Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. In the mouth of God. So when God speaks, we can expect the blessing. And I asked the question last night. I said, what proceeded in John 2, the miracle that took place, the servants that were helpful, the servants that were serving, what preceded the blessing? Obedience. Because they were able to obey, because they decided, they took upon themselves to obey. The Bible says when the wine was served, the host was drinking the wine. He had no idea where it came from, but the servants knew. So it's good to be a servant, to have a greater understanding and a greater knowledge. And if you ask yourself, turn to book of Joshua chapter 3. If you're asking, saying, how can I get the blessing? We're going to find out how to receive the promise which God gave his people through Joshua. This is God's prerequisite. Joshua 3, verse 5. This verse breaks down two different parts, two different portions. We see God's prerogative, God's prerequisite. And we receive God's promise, a personal promise to the people via the man of God. Joshua said, Joshua 3, verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. I just want to let that sink in for a moment or two. This is Old Testament. In order to be prepared, this is God's divine imperative, if you would, sanctification. Something we don't hear talk about too much anymore. But even here, Moses was able to get the people out of Egypt. And then the faith that the people had to get out of Egypt to see, they saw Pharaoh drown with the army. They had faith to get out of Egypt, but they were lacking faith to receive God's promise. They got out of Egypt, but they didn't get into the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb and of that generation. Think about it. Some people come out. I've seen people come out. They'll give up their drugs. They'll give up their religion. They'll give up their sin and such. And then all of a sudden, they just stop. They can't make it further. Faith has a destination. God has a promise for us. We're not meant just to go so far. God brought his people out and he said, this is going to be a land which he had promised to Abraham so many hundreds of years earlier. They end up in slavery. They have faith to get out of Egypt. And then they don't have faith to cross the Jordan River. Something happened along the way. And here Joshua takes over. Moses, the Bible says Moses is a type of the law. He brought in the law and he's a type of the law. The law is not going to get you into your promise. You need Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's blood shed that brought us, amen, the freedom that we do have, the freedom from sin, the freedom to enter in. And here Joshua is giving them God's prerogative, if you would, God's instructions, which is sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Someone say do. Praise God. Amen. Like I said, faith to leave Egypt, but not faith to enter in. Hallelujah. And I thank God, amen, when God brought me out of darkness, he put the light in me. Not only did he bring me out of darkness, but he took the darkness out of me. Amen. You look at these Israelites and, you know, they came out of Egypt and they started saying, where's the leeks? Where's the melons? Where's the fish? They wanted to go back. Where's an idol? Make us an idol. Make us an idol like we used to have. I don't want what I used to have. I don't want what I used to be. I want to be that new creature in Christ Jesus. And I want to stay that way. I want to be that man that is ordained. Amen. His steps are ordered to be that man that is ordained. Be the person, praise God, that can bring glory and honor unto God because God has done so much for me in return. Praise God. So here it is. Amen. Where Joshua is. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. To be a vessel that is prepared, meet sanctified. This is, I don't know if Paul, I'm sure Paul read the scripture that we're reading in Joshua chapter 3 in the 5th verse. Then Paul turns it around in the New Testament and he says, I want you to be a vessel sanctified, meet for the master's use. Praise God. You combine these two scriptures together, we're going to become a person that is doing something unto the glory of God, a person that is effective for God's kingdom. Praise God. Against the devil. Joshua, sanctify yourselves. It means get ready. God is ready to move. God is ready to do wonders among you. I want you to be ready. I want you to be prepared. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Hallelujah. So there we have the promise that comes by faith. Praise God. And the word of God that we're reading, it gives us the faith of to know who God is and how God wants to use you and I. It's predominant today. I've mentioned this over and over again. When you talk to church people, God doesn't need us, that we're useless before God. I've heard people say, oh, I'm nothing before the eyes of God. No, you're not. Amen. If God can look upon you, my sister, and you, my brother, tonight, and see the blood of Jesus Christ, that means a whole lot to God. When God told Moses, he said, after 9 plagues that hardened the heart of rebellious Pharaoh, and God says, now I'm coming down, and he said, death is going to be walking up and down the streets in that neighborhood, but when I see the blood, he said, I'll pass over. When I see the blood on a house, he said, I'll pass over. When I get to a house where there is no blood, uh-oh. Thank God for the blood. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. Praise God for the blood. I've said this before, but the person standing before God, God's going to want to see the blood. And he's not going to want to see any credentials. He's not going to want to see any graduation certificates. That's not going to mean anything. A name of a church is not going to mean anything. There's only one name. And Jesus Christ is going to present his bride to his Father. And that bride, if you read Ephesians chapter 5, is without spot and without wrinkle. That's how God is going to present his bride to his Father. Praise God. What's going to make the difference is the blood of Jesus Christ. Someone else say amen. Amen. Praise God. So this is the promise that we have from God. And God says, this is what with the scriptures we read last night, that God is going to perform it. Praise God. That God is going to be, amen, that we're going to see these things accomplished. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Open up your Bibles and find out where the promise is. See, if God has given me a promise, if God has given me something that I can look forward to, I want to find out what that is. I want to be the recipient of what God has for his children. I want to be the recipient of what God has for his sons and for his daughters. Praise God. Not just sitting around waiting for the day after you die. I was raised in a church like that. It wasn't very encouraging. I'm a young guy. I'm like their age, like my young brother's here. I'm like their age. And some old tyke would come along and says, one day. And I'm sitting there saying, well, what about today? Well, I'm a young guy. I'm looking for excitement and fun. And my teenage years are coming up. And I got old people in the church saying, well, you know, if you don't get nothing here, I'm not making fun. But I remember this. We're not going to get nothing here. But one day when Jesus comes back, well, I'm young. I don't want to wait one day. I don't want to wait for the next 60 years or till the day I die. I mean, I'm not serving a God that puts things off or designates things to the future. I thank God today, when you read the scripture here, Joshua says, sanctify yourselves and you better hurry up because tomorrow, not after you die, praise God. You remember reading that word? Read it again. Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. Someone say tomorrow. Amen. I want the promises of God in my life now while I'm young, while I can enjoy them, while I have the strength, while I have the energy to do it. Praise God. This is the decision that we make. I mentioned last night, I said, we're going to look at men of God. But this morning I'm thinking, saying, because I promised the sisters, I said, I'm going to get you some sisters too. When I began thinking, I said, you know what? There's as many sisters as there are brothers. So, well, we're going to start with Brother Abraham. Then we're going to look at a couple of sisters and how they received the promise. So let's start in Romans chapter 4. Go into the New Testament. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah, Romans chapter 4. Still looking at obedience. So I mentioned in John chapter 2, how is this miracle accomplished? Obedience. You look at Moses. We read something from Joshua, David, Abraham. They're obedient servants. Praise God. The will of God. The promise of God. Someone say promise. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. And he, talking about Abraham, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. Someone say faith. I don't know if you can underline it or highlight that word. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong. Someone say, I'm strong. If you're not strong, say, I want to be strong. Say, make me strong. Make me strong. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are we strong? make me strong. Hallelujah. Got to be strong. Be strong in the and in the power of his. Amen. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Praise God. Good verse to know. Thank God you got that verse. Armed and ready. Now, verse 21, for those of you who were here last night and the night before, you're going to understand why I'm taking verse 21. I'm going to spend some time on it. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God has promised, God was able also to perform. Praise God. Amen. So now, verse 21, and being fully persuaded. What did Jesus tell the servants to do with the water pots? Fill them up. So here we have a man, Abraham. He's filled up. He's full. Fully persuaded. Praise God. When you have your gas tank is empty and you put the nozzle in and you fill it up until no more will go in that gas tank, it's full. You sit behind the driver's seat and you look at the gas gauge. What does it say? Full. No, you can't put in. There's no room for anything else. You fill it up to the last drop. When I saw a gas station at $1.18 for diesel, I made sure I could see the fuel line in that through that little hole saying, there it is, it's full. I've taken advantage of every single drop that can go into the vehicle at $1.18. Praise God, fully. And that's what we're here today to do. Let's read. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded, we come here to get filled up, praise God, so we can walk away, and there is nothing, and there is nobody, I don't care what devil is saying, whatever they can come up with, is going to change my mind, is going to sow a seed of doubt into my heart, into my spirit, into my soul. I know I am fully persuaded in whom I believe. Praise God. He's not a dead God. He's a living God. Praise God. He's a God that is within me. And I thank God. Amen. When I get up in the morning, it's not something I can forget. Praise God. It's not something that I can leave behind because God is in me. Jesus Christ gave us that promise. The greatest prayer that the Bible contains in John chapter 17 is Jesus praying for you and I. And Jesus saying that. He says, I will come and make my abode, amen, with my disciples. Praise God. With them whom I'm praying for right now. And he says, my Father will come with me and the three shall be one. I thank God today I have that understanding of who I am in Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do I need to repeat that or can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. This is the persuasion that we need to be fully persuaded. If you're not quite fully persuaded, then there's room for the devil to get a little bit of a foothold. And once the devil starts with a little bit of a foothold, what happens? The foothold becomes a stronghold, allowing the devil to grow. I'm fully persuaded. I don't need to look left. I don't need to look right. I don't need to stagger. I don't need to lean one way. People ask me, which way do you lean? I don't. I stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, stand fast in the liberty. Praise God. When you read Ephesians chapter 6, and I understand what they're saying, but when they come at you with these carnal concepts and you're trying to make somebody spiritual or you're trying to sow words of spirit and of life into the hearts and minds of people, sometimes it's tough. It's easier to go to somebody that has not been affected by dead, vain religion and talk to them. They just receive it without any opposing blockages or any opposing concepts that may have been developed over the course of sitting in religious institutions that come up with ideas that are vain, that are not godly. This is why the Bible that's in your hands, and young people as well, that Bible that's in your hands, this is your reference book. This is your instruction manual. This is what gives you everything that you need to get to God. Everything that you need to be pleasing unto God. Everything that you need to be profitable for his kingdom. Abraham was in want. We're talking about here Abraham and Sarah. And God comes to Abraham and he gives him the promise. You're going to be a father of many nations. Need I remind you of the bedrooms that are empty in my house? This is how Abraham went to God, saying, okay, I'm a father. Okay, I'll accept the promise, but something's got to be done. My wife is, she's 90. I can, and now if I was God, I'd sit there. Yeah, your wife's 90, but you're 100, so stop talking. That's how it would have been my answer. And then don't roll over. Don't roll. You're 99. Don't roll over on your wife. You're a few years older. So here, God gives the promise. And here we begin to see, when we read Paul's account here, he says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Okay, God, you said it. Fix it up. Well, however it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Now, man, Abraham tried to do it his way. And that, well, we're still suffering the consequences after that. But God had a plan. And God set his plan in motion. And when we read here, verse 21, he says, and being fully persuaded, the command of God came with a promise. See, sometimes when you, or quite often, sometimes when you talk to people, or often when you talk to people, and you go through the commandments of God, you go through the ordinances that God has given us, and then they feel like they're being ripped off. And I'm sit there saying, no, God is not somebody who robs. But when God gives you a command, it always comes with promise. Praise God. Hallelujah. All we need to see that promise is obedience. The obedience to what God is saying. God is saying, I want you to. But we'll take Abraham for an example. Abraham, pack up your things, get out of your father's house. He's an idolater. He's an idolater. Time to leave. What did Abraham do? Oh, God, let me pray about it. No, the Bible says the next morning he was on his way to where the promise was. So obedience allowed Abraham, when you read Galatians chapter 3, it gives us the full picture of Abraham, the father of our faith is what it's called, because he staggered not because of unbelief. What's the opposite of unbelief? It's putting your faith to work. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, not yet seen, but it becomes the evidence. In French, it uses the word, it becomes a demonstration of our faith and of our obedience and our faith, which combined with our works. So I thank God for that. Praise God that we have that understanding. James says, show me your, he said, I want to see your faith. When people say, I want to see your faith. Well, you can't. But you'll know what kind of faith I have by my works. Can't see the faith. It's something that's spiritual. It's something that's invisible. It's intangible. But by the works of the person, you can sit there and say, that man's got faith. Praise God. Imagine Abraham. God says, I'm going to change your name. You're no longer Abraham. Abraham, you're going to be Abraham, father of many nations. So you can imagine a childless man going up to somebody. Hi, my name's father of many nations. That's putting faith to work. Because he met a few people along the way without his children, without Isaac being born yet. There was no family legacy or family tree to be done. It's like Isaac and Sarah. That was it. That was as far as that family tree was going. But this man had faith going around and says, my name's Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. Look at the stars. Can you count them? No. That's the nation that is going to come, amen, from out of your loins. So this man didn't stagger. He said, I'm not the unbeliever. I'm not the rebellious person. I'm not the one that's going to sit back. Because I've heard people say, I'm waiting for God. Well, you're going to be waiting for a long time, because in the meantime, God's waiting for you. And I mentioned this last night, the four leprous men that stood up and said, well, if we stay here, we're going to die. So let's go and I'll preach on that one day. Try or die. Because it's what they said. We may as well get up and try the camp of the enemy. Maybe we'll get some food. Maybe we'll get some, we'll sustain life. Amen. Because it sounds like they got it going on. Amen. They could hear all the activities. This is something good, something they must be eating, and the festivities or whatever was going on. They were attracted to that. Praise God. So they developed that modus operandi, if you would. We'll try and die. If we sit here, we die. So let's get up and try the camp of the enemy. Hallelujah. And once those men were set in motion, God was looking at that scenario, was looking at that picture. He says, I've got some people I can use now. God is a God of multiplication. He said, I can make those four men sound like a ferocious, fierce army mocking down. And here's four leprous men on their deathbed. But God was able to transform. However he did it, God was able to create a miracle, because somebody decided to get up off their behind and head towards a direction where God says, now I've got something I can use. So going back to what I said, when people come to you and say, well, we're in the eyes of God. No, in the eyes of God, I'm a son. In the eyes of God, when he looks down at me, when he looks down at my sister, when he looks down at my brother, in the eyes of God, he can see blood that was shed by the sacrifice, by his lamb that he provided. And in the eyes of God, amen, we're a son and we're a daughter. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glorify God. Blessed be his holy name. Hallelujah. I remember somebody came to me and he says, we're nothing. Careful with the we part. Talk about yourself. And he started to look at me. And he said, you can't say that. Blood wasn't wasted on me. Talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. Think about who you are. Praise God. And the creation. When you read 2 Corinthians 5:17, for if any man, if any woman be in Christ, they are a new creature, creation. Hallelujah. Those two words, they kind of go along together. And once you take it to that step, the next step is creator. God is the creator of that new creation. I tell people, I said, if you believe that God is recreated or God has created you or you're a new creature, has God messed up along the way? Has God made a mistake? Has God made an error? Are we talking about the same God? Now, Jeremiah the prophet, he'll tell you, if the vessel's marred, uh-oh, the vessel gets put aside, start over. But I thank God today, in the hands of the Father, if we allow God to shape us, mold us, and make us, we allow God to do his work. Philippians 1:6, throw that verse into the picture. Last night we read Ephesians chapter 2, we read verse 8, 9, and 10. We are his workmanship, but Philippians chapter 1 and the 6th verse. There is a work that is being done, allowing God to do that work. He which hath begun, what kind of work? Good work. A good work. Someone say good work. God's a good God. God can obtain good results. Now what happens? He just gives up partway through? A good work will be performed where? In you. In me. Someone say in me. Until when? Until the day of Jesus Christ. Until that day. Philippians 1:6. You've heard me quote that scripture often. It's got to be up there on your favorites list. Just that one verse and not take, there's no area to take that verse out of context. I mean, that excuse won't fly. But you can take that verse stands alone on what God is doing. If you allow God to create what God wants to create, make you what God wants to make you. Praise God. So remember that verse, learn it by heart, Philippians 1:6. This is the blessing that we have when you come to God, when you come to Christ. And you allow God to shape you and to mold you. Praise God. And refuse and don't have anybody, when they come to you and say, well, in the eyes of God, you know, let me tell you who we are in the eyes of God. Praise God. We're blessed in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. In the eyes of God, God is looking at a vessel that is sanctified, that is meet, that is prepared. That's what sanctification means. That is being prepared. Praise God. The world has been taken out of me so that I can become a man of the Word of God. Young people, listen, the Bible that's in your hands, praise God today. This is what's going to make you not a worldly person. It's going to make you a wordly person. Praise God. There's so much of the world today. But the Bible says, Jude wrote, he said, the devil's going to creep in unawares. So when you look at what's happening in the, you know, churches that they're doing the best they know of, but the devil has crept in. You know, you write Ichabod on top of their doorposts. The Spirit of the Lord has departed from those areas, especially when there's idols and graven images and all kinds of things that attract people rather than the Spirit of God. And then the same people walk out, well, we don't mean much to God, or we're nothing and such. That's where the devil wants us, defeated, cowering in a corner, thinking that we're not much. You get your checkbook out to write a check, and the devil is there saying, persecuting you or changing him or trying to get you to change your mind, or your tithe is not pleasing, or it's not acceptable, or it's not enough. When it sounds like condemnation, first of all, when it sounds like condemnation, it is condemnation. But when it sounds like condemnation, it's not godly. It's not Christ-like. Romans chapter 8 in the first verse, there is therefore now a little bit. That much. No condemnation. To who? To those who are in Christ Jesus. What are they, and those people, what are they doing? They're not walking after the flesh, but they are walking after the Spirit. Kind of puts things in perspective. So when people come my way, they're knocking on my door, and I start to feel bad, and the devil's response, the devil's a good door knocker too, and you start to feel bad, and start to feel bad about yourself, or feel bad about your sister. You know, condemnation can get thrown around in so many different ways. I tell people, it says, no, that this is not coming from God. It's coming from the devil. It's not coming from Christ. Are you in Christ Jesus? Then there's no condemnation. But it's as simple as that. And when you read the second verse, amen, we have been made free for the law, from the law of sin and death because of Christ. Amen. Last night I quoted the scripture from the book of Hebrews. I think it's Hebrews chapter 6, if I'm not mistaken. But he is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God through him, by him. This is confirming what Jesus said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Praise God. People come around and say, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what my past is or what my history is like. God is able to save to the uttermost. Doesn't matter how far gone you have been or you were or you're coming from, God is there for you. The blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse us from all sin. Praise God. And all we need to do is repent. That's what the Bible says. So there's the example of this man that staggered not at the promise. Doesn't matter how great the promise is. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter how great the promise is. If you're in business. Who else is in business? You're kind of in, your business. Amen. I'm not sure your business. No, business. You started your business. Amen. When you look at young people, I'm pointing to you, prophetically speaking, business, future business owners. And don't sit there and say, oh yeah, but the economy or my education or my upbringing or my, no, don't stagger at the promise of God. The wealth of the wicked is going to be in whose hands? The Bible says in the hands of the righteous. Praise God. This is the vision that we need to go forth and not just settle for just the mediocre or not just settle for just grinding at the mill, but saying I can take this a step further because God is with me. Praise God. Amen. Young people, you can have a desire, amen, to grow in such a way to defy the odds. Amen. I'll put it this way. And some of you that are in business and you have, I won't look, but you have gray hair and you say, well, maybe I'm too old or, I mean, you know, my business, I'm about to retire. Go forth and say, find out. Now, last night I was saying, get on your knees and find out God's plan, what God has planned for your life. To be able to go forth with God and then bring glory and honor to his kingdom. Praise God, because we can do great and mighty things. We read, sanctify, Joshua said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow God is going to do great things. He's going to do wonderful things. He's going to do wonders amongst you. Amen. Well, you know, that's Joshua, and that's way back then. Has God changed? No. So when I look back, and then I can remind God, say, God, if Joshua and the folks got that promise, if Abraham received that promise, here am I, serving the same God. Praise God. Walking around with the same word, living by the same word. Praise God. In the Kings, we'll look at another example. This one I added to my text this morning when I was meditating. Got to be a woman of faith somewhere, not just a man. 1 Kings 17, encourage the sisters, verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. And these next three words kind of emphasize on them. Go and do. Are you reading with me? Chapter 17, 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 13, everyone say, go and do as thou, amen, as thou hast said. But the lady came, Elijah says, I'm hungry. She goes, well, you're a little too late because I'm about to make a cake for me and my son, not for you. Then we're going to die. So the man of God says, well, go and do that, but serve me first. So now let's find out what the sister's going to do. But make me thereof a little cake first. Bring it unto me. And after you have done that, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord. Here comes God's promise. The intent of God's heart. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. So God gives the promise. The man of God kind of lays it out, gives her the instruction. And what did she do? She went and she followed the instruction. Is the blessing there yet? Not quite. Soon. It's about to get there. But what precedes the blessing? Her obedience. She's about to, see, listening to the man of God and sisters saying, she's going to make a decision. And it's a little bit complicated. She's got to lay this in the balance. Well, I know I've got enough for one last meal. Do I give that away? What do I do? She makes a decision. Thank God for making decisions. The right decisions. Can someone say amen? So, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. What was Elijah saying? Thus saith the Lord. Praise God. When you open up the Bible and read, say, this is what God is saying. This is what God is instructing. This is God's direction. You know faith has a direction? She makes a decision of faith based on the directive that she received on faith. And now she has a, now she's on her way. There's a direction that is, she's sent on a direction. Okay, I'm going to the kitchen. And she's made the decision on faith. Now she's going the direction. I'm going in the kitchen. I'm going to make the little bit that I have. I'm going to serve the man of God. But what was the destination of her faith based on the promise? When you need some oil, there's going to be oil. When you head over into the corner to the flower pot, there's going to be some flour. Hallelujah. Are you following? I'm trying to slow down. I'm trying to bring this down so you can follow up. She makes a decision, and this is all on faith. I know food in the kitchen or food in the refrigerator is carnal, it's fleshly, but this is all based on faith because her fridge is about to go empty. Her cupboard is about to go empty. I know some of you sitting there saying, she never had a fridge. Okay, her cupboard's about to go empty. So she's making a decision based on the direction she's receiving from God. For thus saith the Lord, if you do this, this is the promise. The promise is over here. Your obedience is going to precede the promise. And she switches herself into obedience mode. She says, okay, this is what the man of God said to do. Okay, I'm going to do what the man of God says. She comes and brings, I don't know how smiley her face was when she puts the cake down before the man of God. I picture her son in the corner. Thought you said you loved me. And she went, verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. Underline this, according to the word of the Lord, which God spake by Elijah, the man of God. So there's an example of Abraham. There's an example of, I don't think we're ever given her name, Shunammite woman. Go into the book of Luke. This is another one for the sisters. First chapter in Luke. We can keep reading. I'm not sure what time it is. I've lost track of the time, but it's 2 hours later for me, whatever time it is here. But anyways, I can keep going. We're good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 45. This is the response that Mary is receiving from Elizabeth. So actually, there's two women of faith here. I kind of want to set this up. We know that Zacharias he's mute. He's been muted because he kind of had trouble believing and questioning the messenger. Now, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. There's that child that's in her. So with that substance, I mean, her belly is starting to show. With that substance, she believes. Yeah, she's up in age. But with the substance, she's got something she can feel. She's got something she can see. She's got something that it makes it a little easier to believe. And this is what, when you read this verse here in verse 45, And you can read this at home, the verses prior, and you'll come to that understanding what I'm saying. But now, Elizabeth, you know, she felt the child leap in her. And like I said, easy to believe. Well, God said this is going to happen. And yeah, there it is. It's beginning to show. I can feel it moving on the inside of me. Now, Elizabeth looks at Mary and she says, blessed is she. Blessed is Mary that believed. For there, and what tense is believed in? It's in the past tense. So Mary's already believing the messenger. When Mary told, a little earlier, when Mary says, let it be according to thy word, she's putting her faith to work. Saying, this is strange. You're uprooting my whole life. I've got wedding plans. I've got my dress picked out. I've got my dresses picked out for the bridesmaids. I've got this wedding happening, and now this? I mean, a lot of some amens. Abraham, get up and move. Pack up and get out. Sometimes God's plan can be life-altering, life-changing. You got to be ready. If not, then just settle for the, you know, the mundane, the routine, and God will bless somebody else. Praise God. Put your faith to work. It's not a chastisement. It's just an encouragement. Amen. Allow your faith to go to work. Praise God. And like Brian said, you'll see everything fall into place by the hand of God. Praise God. See, look, so verse 45, Luke 1, and blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So she tells Mary, she says, you're blessed because you have believed and you haven't felt anything yet. Nothing showing in your belly. A little more difficult. But she's already believed. I want you to understand this. You understand where I'm going? Mary's not sitting there saying, well, in 3 months when I can feel something. Amen. Mother's here, when do you start to feel it? 2 months? 3 months? I'm talking to the moms. Guys, you got nothing to say. Around 5 months? Oh, that's a whole lot. That's a long wait. That's longer than I thought. So she's not waiting 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, really? 5 months before it starts to show up. Is it? Yeah, I guess God was right after all. Elizabeth is here. I don't know, prophetically speaking or not, but she's, you're blessed because you've already believed. Praise God. And do you see it? Do you understand it that way? Praise God. And you got to put your faith out there. Jesus came. You say, well, yeah, but I don't see it that way. You're kind of pushing it. No, I'm not really pushing it. Jesus came to Thomas and he said, Thomas, go ahead. Feel it out. There's my side. Put your finger. Blessed are those that what? That believe and they haven't seen and they haven't touched. So verse 45, here is Mary. She hasn't seen. She hasn't touched the belly. She hasn't felt anything. 5 months? Wow, okay. And then here, but she's blessed because blessed is she that believed. Past tense. Praise God. There shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Here's the example for the sisters. Now I want to go back to the beginning. A couple more scriptures and I'm going to get ready to close, get ready to pray. In Genesis chapter 18, put forth the promise. Genesis 18. I'm going to leave you with two verses. Genesis 18, 14, then we're going to read something from Psalm, from the book of Psalms. And these are like the promises of promises. So in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, and I underline the first half of this verse, is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything. I got a few people answering me. Can I ask for a few more to answer? Or if you don't know the answer, well, I'll just keep preaching till you get the answer. No. Amen. I am the Lord. I am the Lord God. And there is none other beside me. Praise God. That's who we serve. And here God's giving instruction. He's getting ready to bless. At the time appointed, I mean, we read Romans 4, but now we're going back to the source where Paul is writing to the Romans, but he's getting this from these chapters in Genesis. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. As complicated as it may be in the eyes of the flesh, or carnally speaking, as we make our way through this earth, we still need faith. Without faith, impossible to please God. Here is a man that pleased God because there was faith that was in him. He did what God wanted him to do. God could see something. Look at the example that David was. And David, I mean, David went through some situations. And some of you know how I like the book of Psalms. It just gets me going every day. But some chapters are, they're mournful. And David is there saying, my enemy's getting the best of me. My enemy's got me down. I can't do. He's mourning. He's going to God saying, look at my situation. Get me out of here. Amen. Am I not anointed? You can see David questioning, but here, is there anything too hard for the Lord? If you have this answer, if you know this answer going into whatever situation where you need to come out of alive, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall, amen, praise God, hallelujah, God, you're ordering my steps, this is the direction you want me to go, well, I'm going, and look at me going, here I am, don't leave me hanging, don't leave me stranded, I shall never leave you, I shall never forsake you. These are promises that we have. Praise God. These are promises that we have to work with. And when we're given, as I mentioned, when we're given, when we make that decision, okay, there's nothing else to do but to go by faith. Once you've made that decision, then you receive your directives from God. Then you receive the direction, okay, this is what I got to do. But when you make the destination, when you get to where your faith, amen, faith, remember the series I preached a couple of years ago, Faith Moves Forward? Anybody remember that? It's in the archives, you can go listen. But the faith that I'm receiving today from God gives me the advantage to move forward. I press toward the mark. Is this toward? Going backwards, the mark that is set before your eyes. Toward gives me an understanding, or it gives me the teaching that I'm moving forward. And also, I press toward, it gives me an understanding that I'm not just standing still. I'm not just a statue or a figure in a wax museum that's going to melt as soon as the air conditioning gets turned off. You know, the heat rises. And we can't make it to the next step because we're too fragile. Amen. I don't want anybody here, and this is, I'm going to pray in a couple of minutes. I don't want anybody here to be found in weakness or in a fragility, or to hear something, or something takes place, something transpires in your life, and you're about to give up. Amen. It happens. It happens to the best of us. You're sitting there saying, well, why bother? What's the use? You turn to the scriptures, you turn to the word of God, and see how we read, amen, about Abraham. We read about the Shunammite woman. We read about Elizabeth and Mary, how these women were able to continue their life according to God's plan. Hallelujah. This is what's going to make a difference in whoever you are, wherever you may be in your life. If you're still a teenager, if you're not yet a teenager, I thank God today that we have an ability to go forth with the faith that we're hearing today. Faith which cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is there anything too hard? I'll leave you with one last promise, Psalm 57. I just want to bring this home. I don't want you sitting there saying, oh yeah, but my sister, she has great faith. She's been serving the Lord for all these years, and I can just see God all over her and all the blessings all over her. Well, what about you? Amen. What about me? Verse 2, Psalm 57, verse 2. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. So I want you to say that last. Say the whole verse. I will. For me, what's your favorite word in amongst all the words? Pull out, and there's no right or wrong answer. Just pull out a word. For me? Okay, performance? Well, it's not mine. There's no right or wrong answer. Those are good answers. If that's what touched you, what's that? God Most High? Man, am I the strange person here? Mine? A-L-L. Oh. My faith in God is already there. Praise God is God. I know who God is. I don't mind the for me part. That's a good answer. And every once in a while, we need a for me moment with God. We need that time and space, or, you know, space. You know what I'm saying, sister? Amen. Say, hey, here am I. Amen. For me, for me. But the word I have underlined or highlighted in my text is the all things. Amen. So it doesn't matter at work, at home, in the playground, in the schoolyard, in the classroom. That A-L-L, that covers all the territories. That covers all the situations. Praise God. But those are good words. Like I said, there's no right or wrong answer. Performance, that's a good word. He performs all things for me. I do have for me highlighted. I thank God for that. But I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things. And are you glad for all things? Amen. Hallelujah. When you look at what Jesus accomplished on the cross, I mentioned this last night. Jesus went to the cross willingly. If I was to talk to those two thieves, I don't think there'd be much willingness. Yeah, we're paying for our crimes, but I'm sure they had to be captured and arrested and manhandled to get to the cross to get to their punishment. But Jesus, when you read Ephesians chapter 12, it's the second verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So talking about faith for the past hour, I mean, the creator, he's the author, which means he's the creator, he's the developer. The author of a book has developed the characters. She or he has developed the plot line, the backstory. Amen. When somebody writes a book, and any authors, you understand what I'm saying? You're creating the narrative. You're creating the motives behind whatever it is, if it's a mystery or romance or whatever it is you're writing. So when you get to our faith, when you read this second verse in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author, the Alpha. I mentioned last night, Alpha, God is, amen, when you look at God and Jesus, Alpha, because they start things. Omega, because they finish things. Amen. He doesn't leave me in the middle, doesn't leave me hanging. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who despising the shame, he went to the cross. And someone say, thank you, Jesus. Let's stand, amen, with that thankfulness in our hearts. You can put your Bibles down and put your hands up. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So remember, we're looking at faith today, looking at the promises, the possibilities with God. The godly possibilities are as great as the promises. Praise God. No withholding, nothing keeping us back. Praise God. You can take that next step by faith. Amen. If it's a leap, if you have to take a leap, do it. Amen. Take a leap of faith or by faith. Or start with a step. Start with a baby step. Praise God. Hands up. And let's be thankful. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're not living that life and you want to live that life, well, then that the first step you take is saying, I want Jesus to be the author and the finisher of my faith. Not the way I was brought up, not the religion I was brought up in, not my own concept or not my own understanding. I want to repent. Praise God. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Amen. This afternoon before I pray. Your hands up. Praise God. Let God know. Say, here am I. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know there was Abraham. I know there was a Shunammite woman. I know there was Mary. I know there was Elizabeth. But here am I. Praise God. God knows you by name. God knows you by name. He has a new name. You know, promise. It's a promise for you. Amen. I'm not a social security number. I'm not a number, you know, a random number. God knows you by name. It's as simple to say, look to God and say, here am I. Praise God. Here am I. Father in heaven, you see your sons, you see your daughters today. Exhorted and edified in such a way that we're ready for the next move. Praise God. Hallelujah. The faith which we have received today, not only is it good, but it's strong. Hallelujah. Unstaggering faith. Whatever the situation is, whatever the situation demands, we have the promises. And we're not going to believe, we believe. Having believed, praise God, there is going to be a performance of the Word of God in the lives of every one of my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank God, amen, for having come to repentance. Thank God for your mercy, for your grace, for your patience, for your long suffering. We're here today because of your patience. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory that you made a way for us. Some of us had to come a long way, yet here we are today on a way which leadeth unto life, for which we are thankful, for which we are grateful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Talk to God. Make your requests known. Young people, talk to God. Learn to talk to God. Hallelujah. I'm right here. So I don't know what to say. God, I'm right here. God, take into account the offering I left behind last night. The offering I sent in the mail last week. God, keep in mind this sacrifice my neighbor I testified to. Praise God. Talk to God. Talk to him. A light in the darkness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God today. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. That we know that we're not just blindly walking around following blind directions. We're receiving an understanding. We're receiving direction from you by faith. Praise God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, bless the contractors. I already mentioned their companies and such, that they grow, that the companies prosper. In Jesus' name, praise God. Based on contracts, based on the phone ringing. In Jesus' name, the phone rings. Praise God. Hallelujah. People looking, whatever product, whatever you're doing, whatever the work of your hands is, that's what they need. In Jesus' name, praise God. Hallelujah. And they'll call they'll call the sons and daughters of God, honest people, hardworking people, Lord. They're your children. Thank God. Bless them as Abraham was blessed. And Isaac. Praise God. Their cattle was multiple. The land couldn't hold their cattle, their sheep. Praise God. No shortage of well water. In Jesus' name, praise God. These men were blessed. Men of faith and obedient. Father in heaven, thank you for the word which we heard today. Lord, I pray that we take it to heart and never forget what you have said. Praise God. Remind us, Holy Ghost, bring to our remembrance the things that we need to remember today. Praise God. That'd be a blessing in our lives as we go our separate ways for a few days. Praise God. We're looking for water baptism to be a blessing to all those going through the waters. Lord, make a way for us. We still don't see it, the exact place and the exact, but we're depending on you in Jesus' name to make it so that it'll be a blessing to all those ready, amen, to be baptized. Praise God. according to commandment. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. We're thankful for this place that has allowed us 3 days to make some noise. Praise God, to be who we are as children of God. We're thankful for this management. This business be blessed, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you for the reading of the word today. Praise God, eyes open to see what has been read, ears open to hear. Praise God, what was preached, what was being taught. Praise God, we pray for the work in Africa. Even some of the pictures that we saw, we know who to pray for. We've been given names to receive. Praise God, there's going to be an abundance. Praise God, for your kingdom. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give God a good hand. Praise God. His name is... Amen. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Well, I trust the Word of God has blessed you today. God has given us a generous portion of our daily bread. All the glory be unto God. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. Remember, you can see the video and audio files of this teaching on our YouTube channel, That's the Truth, as well as our Facebook page, Linked with God. Please share these links with your friends and family so that they too can be blessed. This is how you can help me preach the gospel of Christ, salvation for this generation. Stay tuned. There's a lot more of the Word of God coming right up. My name is Lincoln, and you're listening to That's the Truth.